Backseat Quickies, Episode 30, Norwegian Wood.
Come on, go.
Hi, I'm Scott.
And I'm Sam.
And this is Backseat Quickies, and tonight we're going to talk about Norwegian Wood, which is based on the hipster classic novel of the same title by Haruki Murakami, but for the plot, I'm going to throw this to Sam.
Plot of the story is there's a young gentleman named Toru. He's about 25 years old. He's a college kid.
It's the late 60s.
Late 60s. He, his best friend, and his best friend's girlfriend, they've been friends since childhood. And unfortunately, Toru's childhood best friend kills himself. He asphyxiates himself in a car, no less.
Mm-hmm.
Toru, unfortunately, is the one who has to cope with the girlfriend, who is not taking it very well, to the point where she actually even tries to kill herself. Toru has to deal with the fact that he's communicating to her via letters. When they do meet up, it's always very awkward, to the point where he has sex with her.
Toru gets laid a lot in this movie.
He gets laid a lot, but he's never entirely satisfied with the kind of sex that he's having. He's a sex addict, but he's not somebody who enjoys or gets any satisfaction from it. And the only time that he ever feels emotionally attached during sex is when he's sleeping with Midori, who is the best friend's girlfriend.
Yeah. Meanwhile, while this main plot is going on, he's also fairly consistently interacting with a couple of other people who are in committed relationships, but also cheating on their lovers and getting their perceptions on relationships and sex. And a lot of this movie boils down to just meditations on relationships and loneliness and what it means to be committed to someone.
Think of it as like Catcher in the Rye. What you have is
without all the lame.
Without all the lame. It's more of just, it's a reflection of what it means to be in a committed relationship. And because this is a Japanese film and based off of a Japanese novel, Japanese perceptions of sexuality and marriage are very different from that of Western perspectives, insofar that cheating pretty much is the standard for go kill yourself. Cheating is just seen as the biggest no-no in the world, which is just the same in Western culture, but more so it's like a death penalty. Usually you end up with your partner who, let's say, you've cheated on. You get a lot of cases of people going to mental institutions and whatnot just because the pain is actually that great.
Which is what happens here. Yeah, let's do acting first. And I think we've got a very nice cast of young Japanese actors all just delivering their lines quite well. They're good at showing their emotions. And you really get a feel for the characters quite well, even the ones that only have a handful of scenes.
Well, and the biggest standout is definitely Kenichi Matsuyama, who, for those of you Japanese film buffs out there, he was L from the Death Note movies. He also was in the Nana films as Shin. He is a wonderful actor, and, I mean, I've seen a lot of his films, and he just continues to grow and grow, and Norwegian Wood, I think, was the first time I really saw him shine as an actor. He brought a lot to the role, especially to a character that's very somber.
Yeah.
So I definitely appreciated his skill. And Keiko Miyazawa, who plays Midori, the girlfriend in distress who ends up in the mental institution, she was phenomenal to watch just in terms of how she handles that sort of coping. And because this novel is related to, in some ways, that famous Beatles song, Norwegian Wood, I mean, that song plays such an important role to the film, and especially to her character. She was wonderful to watch, and I'm actually really excited to see her in 47 Ronin.
Yeah. The way this is shot, it's very much of the Japanese green tea and white rice film school, if you catch that reference. But you know what? The shots are very much the plunk the camera down in the middle of a conversation and let the actors do their thing. That said, I think some of the locations they chose to shoot these scenes are gorgeous, and the set design is really great. You get the feel of, you know, tiny little cluttered late 60s apartments and dorm rooms and old record stores, and it's really, really well done for that.
One scene that I think was absolutely brilliant to watch is during the 60s in Japan, they had their own sort of cultural revolution, and there's an actual scene where Toru's university is actually, they're having a protest, and you watch all these people, they're marching through the university, and Toru's sort of following them. He's not obviously 100% behind their cause, but he's very much an observer, and he follows them around the film, kind of just trying to identify and understand the cause. But the way that the scene is shot is it's almost done completely overhead. It's almost like watching a military march, and it's just really cool.
Okay. In terms of it being an adaptation, I think they definitely caught the spirit of Murakami's work. One complaint that comes from me entirely personally is it basically eliminates a very small side character who only gets known as Stormtrooper, who is absolutely hilarious for being this completely oblivious right-wing satire-type character. And he's really not in this movie, and it upsets me.
Well, he's the nerdy, doesn't-get-laid roommate, and with good reason in the novel, considering how he acts and how he treats people. He's very much an otaku stereotype, and Toru in the actual novel really, really can't stand the guy to the point where he came up with the nickname Stormtrooper, because it's like, that's what he is.
But you know what? There's something about this movie that you can't quite put your finger on, but there's something that's poignant and compelling about it, and it's definitely well worth watching. Anything to add, Sam?
You know what? It's a beautiful adaptation of Murakami's work. Very true to the not only just the spirit, but the Murakami himself was probably very happy to watch this adaptation. There was just so much love put into it. You know, you have great acting. You have amazing music. Actually, it was something we didn't touch on. Not only are there covers of Beatles tunes throughout the film, but there's a lot of beautiful piano pieces. A lot of rock and roll. Toru was very big into rock and roll, which is a reflection of Murakami himself. And you just see a lot of it, and it's fantastic. Definitely a film worth watching. We were fortunate enough to watch it at TIFF last year, and just an amazing movie. Definitely recommended. 4.5.
All right, I'll give it a straight up 4. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
Oh my god, it's the Backseat Producers.
Backseat Quickies and a number of better podcasts can be found at backseatproducers.com. If you offer any feedback or submit your own quickie, check out the thread at spoopyouthouse.com/forum. Music by Scott Wachter.
Oh yeah, baby.